Threat Film Radio. One World International Human Rights Documentary Film Festival in Prague, Czech Republic.
Threat Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2020 One World Human Rights International Documentary Film Festival. I think those words are in the name of the festival, but they might be out of sequence the way I just said it. We'll work with what we've got. But we are in Prague in the Czech Republic, and I am very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Espen Valim. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And the reason why you are here is you are presenting a documentary here at the festival, and the documentary is called Self-Portrait. It is co-directed with... would you mind saying their names as well so that we just have that documented too?
Yeah, we are three directors in that movie. So it is Margit Olin, Katja Högset, and then me, Espen Valin.
Great. We have their names in there too. I watched the film and I thought it was very powerful, but I think the best way to start a little chat about it would be perhaps with you just giving us a little introduction, if you don't mind, so that our listeners who are not familiar with the film just know what we're talking about.
Well, the film is about an artist who has an eating disorder, and I think that's the, you know, that's the base of the movie, really, because she is a really talented photographer, and then she has, you know, a really severe attack of eating disorder as well, and then it all comes together because she's talking very good about, you know, good descriptions about how she feels and the way she thinks, both as an artist but as well about the disease. So it gives, it's a movie that, you know, explains quite a lot about being in this condition, but also gives, you know, it can be translated into other kind of mental illness as well. It's not only anorexia. It's I mean, if you feel bad, and you can get something from the film, actually.
Yes. What is her name?
Lene Marie Fossen.
Right. A photo artist. She's no longer with us, I believe, sadly.
Yeah, it was very sad because she died the 22nd of October. And she has been sick now for 23 years or so. And then she died 3 months before the premiere. But 1 week before she died, she managed to see the full and final result. And she was very happy with that one. So we just kept the schedule as we planned with her to tell the story and to get it out there. So, yeah.
Were you familiar with her work before you started making the movie?
Yeah, I was familiar with the work because... In 2010, she reached out to me, and because I was doing photography teaching back then, and she wanted my help with, you know, her photography, and I started to help her by email back then. So she sent me pictures, and I gave my comments, and then she, you know, it just that was the base of the relationship. So basically, after 4 years, I saw that no one helped her. And I tried to, you know, give her a hand and bring her photo and her as an artist out in, you know, to get some recognition for her talent. Yeah. So that was my idea. And I tried some things that didn't work out. And I thought, well, I have to film this. And we started filming in 2014. So I joined her at her favorite place, Chios, in Greece. And then that was the start of the documentary.
Yeah. So it was a few years before you started, that you knew her before you started working on this documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I knew her for 4 years. And then I filmed her as a one-man team for 3 years. And it was, you know, it's a rough story and it's hard... It tends that people really don't really want to touch this theme. This theme because it's hard and it's easy to do something wrong, or they can fear to do something wrong. So they rather say no than do something because it could be, or at least they fear it could be wrong. So they say no. And then after 3 years by myself, I got in contact with Margit Olin and Katja Högset, which also do lots of documentaries in Norway, and they're probably the most famous ones in Norway. And they saw the pictures, they heard the story, and they said yes. So then we were three directors, and So
the three of you sort of split up tasks. How did that work?
Yeah, no, it worked out that so I for 3 years I did everything myself. Uh-huh. So I was directing, I was, you know, I was doing the photography, I was doing everything. So after 3 years, then Margit Olin came in as a producer. And director, and then Katja also were doing the directing on set, and I was doing the filming. And then we were having discussions afterwards about what we should do and what we missed, and yeah.
Now, as the title suggests, self-portrait, I mean, what I would assume from a film that is called that, it would be a very personal, detailed experience of what it was like to be her as a person, not only as an artist, which is what you said in your introduction to the film, and that's exactly what we get. But I wonder as well, from watching this film, she seems to be a person that's very insecure. And so, was she comfortable with? I mean, and in her photography work, she takes pictures of herself. Maybe we'll get into that a little later on. But was she comfortable with you filming her? Was she comfortable with the cameras, and also was she comfortable with that being filmed in situations that were very, very personal?
Yeah, she was very confident. Actually, yeah. So I've been working with famous people. I've done the models. I've done quite a bit of photography, and I guess Lene is among the most secure I've had in front of a camera. So she's really. It's like you're not there. So she's in her own world and she's doing her own thing and whatever. I mean, apart from, going to the toilet in front of you, she's doing, everything as natural.
Everything else. I mean, I suppose that one of the themes of her life was perhaps that the camera did really help her dealing with the world at large. I mean, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. She actually told me, back when we started in 2014, that if she didn't have the camera or photography, she wouldn't have anything. So she would die, actually, because she didn't have any reason to live. So the camera gave her a reason to live and to, have something, a reason to exist, actually. So, yeah.
Yeah. From what I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the movie, she stopped eating when she was 10 years old in order not to grow up. That was why she did it. Throughout the movie, we also see that she has an interest and fascination for taking portraits of people. Why do you think that she was interested in doing that?
Well, she liked people. She liked histories. And she also saw, and that was just a small sidestep, but that was the turning point in editing the movie, when we got into seeing the world as Lena saw it, not as we saw Lena, but we twisted it around and we followed Lena as she saw the world. And Lena saw people in another way, perhaps, than other people saw the world. And then that's her way in with people that she also portrays.
What way would you describe that as being?
It's a way where she comes in on their level because she had this illness, quite obviously. She came in, let's say me, I mean, I'm 186, almost twice as big as Lena, and with a big camera, I might be frightening to a lot of people. But Lena, she was tiny, and she came in, and the people opened up to her just automatically, and she gained access, instant access, to the ones that she portrayed, and that's showing in the pictures, in the movie as well.
Do you feel that as a resonance with your work as a filmmaker as well? Do you try to, in a way, the same approach?
Yeah, I was, well, with Lena, I was just basically a fly on the wall. I was just, trying to be there. And also because we had this good and tight connection before we started to film, I had a trust with Lena, so I could be there without it actually noticed I was there. So I was just fly on the wall and trying to be as close as I could without interfering with her work. So yeah, that was my approach, and trying to show Lena as an artist, not disease, not having lots of doctors and, you know, all the opinions from all the people around the world about, you know, every aspect of the disease, but just showing Lena as an artist and how she worked and how, yeah, you know, how she dealt with it.
Yeah, yeah. From just knowing her and actually filming her and going through that process as well, what would you say was her, Lena's relationship to her anorexia?
Good question. Lena's relationship. Well, she seems
to talk about it in a way that is very real. Sometimes she even comes across as saying that perhaps it's like a, I don't want to say it's a superpower, but in a way, dealing with it empowers her. I don't know how to put it.
Well, anorexia helps her deal with issues and troubles in her life. And also, photography is the only thing that could maybe top that strategy to cope with the world. So that's why she, you know, the photography gives her something. She can feel alive when she does photography. And when things go bad in her life, then she just clings on to anorexia because that's her strategy. That's the only survival strategy that she has.
Survival, yeah.
Yeah, so it is actually, and she says that one time in the movie that I need the disease. And I started to think that I probably could live without the disease, but then I felt I needed it again. Mm. So it's just basically a survival strategy that, so it hasn't anything to do with how she looks, but it's a survival strategy for how she feels.
I see, yeah. Oh, we've actually gone over the time. So I have to be very careful in picking the right final question. I suppose I could ask you lots more, but I'll end on this. Knowing with this film, I think that people are going to actually meet Lena for the first time as a photo artist. As you said, this was part of the intention of the movie, to actually highlight her work as an artist. But do you feel that perhaps the fact that she was also anorexic and she had these disorders, and when you see her, they're obviously immediately striking, got a little in the way of her actually becoming known for her photography, and maybe was an obstacle in that sense too?
Yeah, well, it could be. But then again, she just uses herself, because she gone through different stages as well as an artist, where she had... she was doing, in the beginning of the movie, she was doing photography of her lost childhood, and then later on she was doing elder people, she was doing refugees to capture their lives and to kind of get their stories so they're not forgotten, because that's, you know, easily in this world to forget all the crazy stuff that happens with children now with the refugees. Mm-hmm. And then she comes on to doing herself in this old lepra hospital. So I think just it's, and she, if she would live on, she would do another project. So it's not like the things that she's now famous for or will be more famous for is the final things that she has in her way as an artist. But I hopefully, well, we'll have to see. But the critiques in Norway of her work as an artist, one guy even said that this is just on top of everything you've seen in art history. So hopefully she can, her memory and her story can just build on that base. So yeah, I hope for that at least.
All right, on that note, I thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.